An old Italian gentleman lived alone in New Jersey, and he waited to plant his annual tomato gardens. It was difficult work as the ground was pretty hard. His old son Vincent, who was used to help, was in prison, so he couldn't help. The old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up the garden and plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you'd be happy to dig the plot up for me and like the good old days. Love, Papa." A few days later, he received a letter from his son. "Dear Papa, don't dig up the garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI and the local police arrived. They dug up the entire area without finding any body. They apologized to the old man and left. That same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Papa, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny."
That was a good one. You're getting better.
Thanks. What do you do when it seems like your dreams are put on hold? Or worse yet, they are just seem like never going to be fulfilled. There just seems like they're just, you're in that waiting season. I've been there. Let's be honest. Most of us don't like the wait. We live in a fast-paced, I want it now culture. Mm-hmm. We have microwave dinners, instant coffee, breakfast, and instant messaging. Facebook posts are seem to be so much easier than waiting for that letter from the post office to come through with the stamp on it. And so we live in that kind of culture. So we've got everything now. Just right now would be the best thing to do. And even fast food anymore is not fast enough. Now you can get an app. Order on the app. Drive up, pick up, and you're all gone. It's that quick. It's like even fast food anymore wasn't fast enough.
DoorDash.
Yeah, DoorDash. That too. Patience just doesn't quite seem to be a virtue any longer. Been there? And yet sometimes God delays what he has in store for us that we just learn to trust him more. So that, you know, hoping that he's just hoping that we will understand that what he has for us is much better than what we think we need. So Proverbs 13:12 tells us, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Now we can understand the first part of that verse. It's pretty easy to relate to. We have all had those times that were difficult. Amen? Seemingly hopeless. And at times, has let us feel a little discouraged and discontented. Because we've been to that place where hope deferred makes the heart sick. But the second part of that verse, that one that says, "But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." You know, in those first moments, in that first part of that verse, it's in those moments when our heart aches. We feel the pain. We feel the discouragement. We feel the frustration of having to wait on that prayer to be answered. Having to wait on that dream that has been delayed. That longing that we want that's been delayed. But that second part of this verse, that one that says, in the midst of everything, in the midst of all that's going throughout my life right now, it seems pretty far-reaching. I'm ever going to see that tree of life. And that just seems like it's so far out of that I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so we have a little frustration because that second verse says, "But a longing fulfilled makes longing fulfills the tree of life. We don't seem to always get the tree of life as quick as we want. Been there? And so we begin to think, well, you know what? I just think I'm going to help God out. I haven't seen my dream fulfilled. I haven't seen those things happen. I haven't seen my longing fulfilled. I'm just gonna wait. I don't know if I ever find my answer in this place. And so I'm just gonna just help God out. And the truth is, the higher the expectation, sometimes the harder it is to wait. You know, you apply for a job and it's like, oh, you're hoping to hear that day. It's like, that day doesn't happen. Next day comes by and still nothing happens. You just keep on waiting and waiting. And it seems like it takes for eternity to get that answer. Romans 8, 24 and 25, the passage says this. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope, excuse me. Hope means that we must trust and
wait.
For it is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. So here's the thing, church. God's plan for us is so much bigger than a plan that we have for ourselves. It's so much bigger. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so what we think is best for us, He knows what's better for us. And so we understand that we just have to wait on His plan, wait on His timing, because His timing is perfect. Right. Matter of fact, about Jesus, when it says, at the right time, at just the right time, Jesus came. If he would have came too soon, they would have received him. If he would have came a different way, they would have received him. So we understand that his timing is always perfect. His ways are our ways. His thoughts are our thoughts. But he always is longing to fulfill and reach out to what we need.
Amen.
He says he'll display all our needs according to his riches and glory. Not our wants, although he does some of those too. But he says he'll supply our needs. And at just the right moment, at just the right time, God steps in place and does what he does best and moves the lives of the men and women that follow him, that love him. What happens so many times is that we don't get what we want, how we want, when we want, so we decide to just help God out a bit. And do what we can to get the desires of our hearts quicker than we should, or even get them now. As the song says, I did it my way. We do it our way. We try to do it in our own understanding, our own situation, our own way of thinking. And again, his ways are higher than ours. And Abraham and Sarah had a difficult time. They struggle with this whole idea of waiting as well. Think about it. Genesis 12, 1 through 4 says this. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now, I love that. First of all, God says, I want you to go someplace you don't know what you know yet. Just go. I want you to just pack your bags, take off, leave. Time to move on. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. So this is the first time that God tells Abram that he's going to be a father of many nations. This was the promise of he was going to have, you know, that he's going to be this father of a great nation. That he tells him to pack his bags, to go someplace he's not going to show him yet, but just move and trust me to do it. And that if you do that, the world will be blessed through him. Wow. What a promise. And how old was Abram?
75.
And again, Genesis 15. Now here he is. God tells Abram that he was going to be the father of many nations. He says this in Genesis 15. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He then took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited him to him as righteousness. Say that with me. Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed the Lord. So he's told twice now, he's going to be a father of many nations. And so he knows that you know, this one that was his servant, this one that was not going to be his heir, was not the one that God was going to use to make this all happen. Yet he and his wife, who now he's 75, she's 65, has not yet had any kids together. And so that's how he knows this promise is there. So, I mean, it's quite the promise. It's quite the thing that he's hearing that wow, this is like, woo! But look what happens. Next chapter, chapter 16. Look what took place. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai had said. He just had said, I believe the Lord. Next chapter. I haven't had kids yet. The Lord stopped me from having kids. So why don't you just take my servant with you and have children through her. I can just maybe build a family through her. And that's just one chapter later. He's here. And so it's like, didn't we just hear him say he believes the Lord?
Right. He's too impatient.
A little impatient. He tried to help God out.
Yeah.
And so Hagar becomes pregnant, and Ishmael is born. But this was not the promised child. This was not the one that God had told him about. According to verse 16, he was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. So he's now 75 when he got this first promise from God. Now 86, he tries to help God out. So, you know, 11 years later. And then the good news is God was not finished with him yet. Aren't you glad for that? That God just continues to be patient with us even though sometimes we're not patient with him. Aren't you glad that he doesn't just throw sides, oh, dude. It's been 11 years and you messed up. He doesn't do that. Look at, God's not done. Look what he said. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 6. He says this. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. There's that promise again. Now let's skip down to verse 15. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer call her Sarai, her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abram fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him. That's important. I want you to keep that, remember for later. I will establish my covenant with him, Isaac, as an everlasting covenant for the descendants after him. Now remember chapter 15. Abraham believed the Lord. Now, we find him just a couple chapters later, and he laughs. It's been 25 years from the time he first got his promise that it was given. No wonder they laughed. It was a heart deferred made the heart sick. That longing, that hope was deferred. But after waiting, after the longing was fulfilled, a tree of life springs forth named Isaac. Oh, the promised kid, the promised one, the miracle baby comes along and finds his way home. He arrives on the scene. Just as Solomon had told him Proverbs that a longing fulfilled becomes a tree of life, Isaac becomes their tree of life. Imagine the gratitude. Imagine the thanksgiving. Imagine the awe. Imagine everything. The pleasure that he must have felt when Isaac showed up on the scene. After the fulfillment of that promise, that dream that he had longed for 25 years, he had longed for it. Imagine his excitement that must have taken place. But then something strange happens. There's no advance notice. There's no letter in the mail. There's no camel comes into his back door and says, hey, guess what? You have a dream. Nothing, no dream in the middle of the night. God does not say anything. God just says to Abraham during a time of prayer, he says this. Then God said, in Genesis 22:2, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. That's not the right one. There it is.
There's one behind.
Yeah, no one behind. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Once again, it's like, wait, you told me once to leave my house. Go someplace I don't even know about. Now you tell me, go someplace on this mountain Moriah with my son, the promised one. The one I had longed for 25 years. God, I mean, you're telling me to do this. Once again, God tells Abraham to go and pick up his bags and leave. Someplace he's not sure of where we're going. But he'll show him where he's going after he's obedient to do it. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be like, really, God? It's like, you told me that the nation would be blessed because of Isaac. You told me this was the promised one. You told me this is, I surely couldn't have heard you right. That there's no way you could have said sacrifice in there as a burnt offering. There's just no way you could have done that, God. There's just no way. I need to call somebody and get their opinion of this little thing I heard. I need to call somebody up and say, this is what God told me. What do you think? Yeah, I think I would have had a situation. I'm not quite as trustworthy as Abraham is. I mean, he's my promised child. He's my promised miracle. He's the one I waited for 25 years for. You can't be serious, God. Really? That's how I'd respond. And see, sometimes I think we forget that this was a test that God had for Abraham, because we can read in the Bible where it says sometime later, the verse tells us sometime later, God tested Abraham. But Abraham had the luxury. We had the luxury of knowing that it was a test. Abraham had no clue. He just had to trust God enough in the midst of all of that. He didn't have, he could go back and read the book. He was making the book. So he didn't, and I think that's something to forget that he didn't have the luxury of seeing what we know. When he had no clue. He just had to, what do I do? And the truth is, we go through tests ourselves, and sometimes we don't see it that way. There's a test that we actually get through the other side. Like, we just don't know. Another thing we don't know is how old Isaac was when all this took place. Scripture does not tell us how old he was. It just says some time later.
Right.
Now, we know this. We do know he's old enough to ask Dad about where the sacrifice was when this all finally transpired. He's old enough to carry wood on his back up a mountain. So it wasn't like, 4, 5, 6 years old. He was probably, theologians guessing somewhere between 18 and 36. That's a long time to go. But so he was a young man at this point. And he's going to the mountain, not knowing that God told Abraham to sacrifice on the mountain. He's like, I'm going to go along, Daddy. So we don't know how old he was. We just know he was old enough to do all those things. So I think it's safe to say that at this point he was a young man that was going with them. And surprise comes by how Abraham responded. Now, I must be honest. It's not the way I think I would have responded. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I honestly, at this point in my life, not sure I would be just quite as open to that as Abraham was. Can I just be honest? I mean,
amen.
we have to learn how to trust God more. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that, we say spirit break out. If the spirit breaks out, it's gonna make us trust him more. We want more of you, God. More of us means we can trust him more. Look who responded. Early next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place where God had told him about. Early the next morning, he didn't log into Facebook and ask the question. He didn't ask the opinion of his followers. He didn't, tweet out something on Twitter. He didn't ask for advice. He didn't even resist God. He said, what are you talking about? Really? Even though God didn't give him a clue what he was doing and where he's going. I mean, he just told him, go sacrifice Isaac. That's what he told him. Didn't tell him where he's going yet, just someplace on Mount Moriah. He had no clue, and he didn't even resist God on that. What a response. No wonder he counted all his righteousness. No wonder they still speak about Abraham today, because he trusted God in moments that seemed a little foolish. Seemed a little difficult. Seemed like out of the air, out of the normal. Why is it you and I, as followers of Jesus, we need to know every detail of what we're going before we go, when God tells us to go?
Right.
We just need to, okay, God, what do you want me to say? Where do we go? How do you want me to do it? I mean, we need to know every detail before we're going to move into what God tells us to do. Abraham just picked up his bags and went. Scripture says earlier the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded a donkey. In the moment when hope seemed gone, and there was no chance of God changing his mind, he raised his knife to kill his son We enter by angel, and the Lord provides another sacrifice. Church, that happened because Abraham trusted God. Pure and simple. He wasn't disobedient for a moment of time. He didn't wait 2 or 3 days to ponder what God had told him about the sacrifice. He just went. He had the understanding that God was faithful, that God was good. In the midst of not understanding the reasons that God gave, the requests that God laid out, Abraham trusted him still. Do you trust him that much? He wants us to. He longs for us to. Joseph went from the pit to the palace because he trusted God. 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went from a fiery furnace to a smelling no smoke when they pulled them out. They made a decree when the king came and pulled out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a decree came. He said, No one, unless you want to die, can speak evil of the God they serve. Well, don't you wish we had that today? Woo! Well, that'd be a nice place to be. Don't speak about Jesus that way. You'll be, now you just speak about it, doesn't matter. I mean, now we're doing that woke culture, that cancel culture, that, you know, it's like, woo! Don't you wish it more like that in those days? But they couldn't say anything. Daniel Lion's Den came out without scratch. Paul was free from prison because of his worship. David trusted God enough to defeat the giant. Mary trusted she was to be the one who would give birth to Jesus, even though she was a virgin. Joshua knew they could take Jericho. Nehemiah knew they could rebuild the walls. And Noah built an ark with no water even near. That's trust. Time and time again, George, you come. We have example after example of those that trusted Jesus. They just trusted God. They might not have all the facts, all the information that they would like to have. They still just trusted. Many of them had setbacks. Others mocked them. Most had no clue how it had come to pass. They just trusted. Do you know why I'm still here in this church? Because I still trust God to do something big.
That's right. That's right.
I still trust Him.
That's why I'm here.
It's been 25 years or more.
Okay.
I still trust Him that He's faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
And He sings us. And I'm Meg. I trust Him. Listen, church. There will be times that God asks us to do things that we don't have the clue what He means. How it's going to come about. How it's going to happen. We're not fully understand all that He's asked us to do. But Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. He'll do it. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. With most of your heart. With the part you want to give Him. With just a few areas, the parts I want to keep, I just can't. He said, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your... See, there's some very smart people in our world. I mean, they do incredible things. their knowledge, their understanding means nothing. He says, submit all your ways to Him, and He will direct your path. I love this. Jeremiah says this, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never, 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 never fails to bear fruit. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust Him with everything. God knows what's best. He sees beyond the disappointment, the disease, the discontentment, the discouragement, and the discomfort. And if you will just wait, if you'll just trust in Him, in the waiting you will be a tree of life, because He will do more than you could ever ask or imagine. Your circumstance, your situation, your bad knee, it's nothing for God. It's not too big for God to take care of, to work out. But you need to trust Him in the process. Joseph's dream is 40 years to be fulfilled. 40 years? Abraham went with no explanation. He just went. That's faith. That's obedience. That's trust. Let me just say one more thing about Abraham. Isaac, the promised child, from whom this great nation was to come, he found his wife through prayer. Now, he knew it was God's will for this, because the prayer is kind of different. They sent this servant out to find Isaac a wife. They get to a place, and he says, this is the prayer, paraphrase a little bit. Lord, send us someone to feed our camels. Now, that's kind of a weird prayer, don't you think? Think about this. They took 10 camels with them. 10. One camel can drink 10 to 15 gallons of water in 15 minutes. Multiply by 10 now. And that was their prayer. Lord, send somebody to feed our camels. And the Bible says that Rebecca was barren. She came. She was the one that fed gave the camels drink. She was the one that took care of them. Gave some water to quench their thirst. And so we know it took a long time pull up 10 or 50 gallons of water per camel from the well and bring it to, it took a while. So this was definitely God's woman for this man. No doubt about it. That was a fleece that just not anything to do. So Rebecca marries Isaac. But she's barren. So this promised kid, whom the nation was supposed to come together and be, part of all this big scheme, this whole plan that God had with Abraham, he marries a woman that can't have kids. That's kind of weird. I would think that if I'm supposed to have a great nation through my children, I better have children like I should have children.
Yeah.
I would think that just that's a common practice of things, but that's not what happened. And we know that because of how this prayer took place, with the one of the camels, we know it has to be who God sent. But he sent someone that's barren, that can't produce. But I think Abraham taught his little boy to trust God as well. And so Isaac just goes, God, Lord, open the womb of my wife, Rebecca. And God does. And a great nation becomes through him. We need to learn to trust him more. What Isaac did, what Abraham did, that's trust. I'm going to close with this. Before I do, Nathan, pass the baby off, and we're going to pray for your knee really quick. I'm going to have this as a little closing prayer. It's in scripture, but it's a closing prayer. Siete te, por favor. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for hearing us. You always hear our prayers.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you see I can see the pain on his face as he walked this way, God, but that's not what your plan is. That's not your will, God. I think just happen. I get that life happens and we fall, we trip, we twist things up. But God, you are able to do exceedingly abundant. We always think us. Right now, we just claim healing right now in his body. Right now, we command this knee to be straightened. Every ligament's out of position. Everything's gone and out of whack. We just right now we command to come back together again as you created it. Pain must leave in Jesus' name. It has no place in Jesus' name. So when you walked up here, how bad was the pain between 1 and 10? 10 being high. About 9? Alright. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, pain be gone. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Where's that now? That's so we're 6, 7, 9, 8, 7, so down 2. So Father, right now again in Jesus' name, straighten everything out, God, right now. God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for that. I know Nathan's not being dishonest with me. He's just telling me the truth, God. I know that it's still there. So God, right now we command this pain to leave. The enemy has no bearing on this. Right now we trust you, God. We stand in your promises of your word. This is by your stripes we are healed. So we thank you for it. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, be gone, pain. Leave this body right now. In Jesus' name, on your word, Father, we thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Where's that now? Huh? No, not good enough. Where's that? About a 2. All right. So, Father, we thank you right now for that. We just thank you for what you're doing. We give you glory. We give you honor. You're the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do something you couldn't do before you got here. Huh? Couldn't do that before? Thank you, Father. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you. So let this be our closing prayer. Romans chapter 15. Now may the God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you in overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him.
Yes, Lord.
And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life, the super abundance until you radiate with hope. And the church said,